as I like to say, and that with our experts, Charles Walshine, foreclosure defense attorney extraordinaire, and Stephen Schwartz, businessman aficionado, entrepreneur extraordinaire as well, as we examine issues in a common sense approach, as I like to say. Yeah. And we say good morning to Charles and Steve. Guys, how are you?
Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, Jay.
What's happening? You guys getting excited? You got 2 weeks to go. 2 weeks to go, Steve Schwartz. My goodness.
Yes. Well, there's a lot of pregame going on. You ever see like those long pregame shows? This is going to be the longest pregame show in the history of any sport, politics, or anything. This is the most. This is the only game in town.
And Charles, I think Steve's right. I think the next 14 days are going to go like molasses, you know, because we're going to have to endure everything, including a big debate Thursday night. You know what? The epiphany finally came through. The president, you know, with 71 interruptions on the 29th of September in Cleveland, 49 or so for Joe Hyde and Biden. So in essence, why don't we mute the microphones as far as when those who are not asked to speak? You knew that was going to come through. What do you think that's going to look like?
I think they're not going far enough. You know, the intro is the get smart. You remember the cone of silence where they had this plexiglass thing that drops down over? When he's done talking, yeah, the cone of silence. I think you have to just take this cone of silence like a giant bell jar and put it over Trump's head. And then when he's done talking, you put it over, you know, put it over Biden's head when he's done talking. And that's the way it's got to go. Forget the mics, because Donald's pretty loud. He can get above. Oh, yeah, he'll come through on. If you had a microphone like 100 yards away, you would hear him loud and clear just by the how loud his voice is.
No question about it. And, you know, it'll be good to get these guys together, because if you saw the town hall debacle, and I call it a debacle last week, and I say that, Steve, only because, you know, one network had one guy throwing beach balls at Joe Biden. The other network, you had a prostate exam going on live television of the president of the United States. I mean, my goodness, you talk about contrasts in play here. Give me an idea what you saw last week.
Well, last week went, you know, this is the Biden playbook. I mean, the least he could say, you ask him a question, and he says, all right, here's the deal, and there's no deal. There's nothing home. I mean, I've said this for weeks now. He needs to run out the clock. This is a one-man race at this point. This is the Trump haters against the Trump lovers. Joe Biden is just like collateral damage at this point. There's nothing that this guy is going to say. You're getting no substance out of him. You're going to get no answers out of him. But this is all about Trump. This is the Trump show, and we're all in it. We're part of the circus.
No doubt. And Charles, when you think about it, you know, I saw an interesting statistic this morning before coming on the air. State of Pennsylvania, with registered voters, and they're all lined up, and a lot of them, you know, have already voted and more to come. No, but, you know, you look at the state of Pennsylvania. You see, I think Pennsylvania could decide this thing, where Tim Russert nearly 20 years ago said, Florida, Florida, Florida. You could really say Pennsylvania, 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 I think, in a couple of weeks. What do you think about Pennsylvania as being what could be the separation point between these two?
Well, like a lot of these states, you have a big separation between the eastern part of the state and the western part of the state, which is more rural. Michigan is like that, south and north. Wisconsin's like that, south and north. And you have a big divide between urban and not even suburban, but rural. And I can tell you, I just traveled through upstate New York last week. I was fly fishing up in the Catskills. Everywhere you go, yeah, it's very rural. It's like the middle of nowhere, up by the Beaver Kill in the East Branch of the Delaware, up by the reservoirs. Everybody's got a Trump sign. I think I saw one Biden sign in somebody's lawn in 3 days. That's rural. You come down here, you drive through certain neighborhoods, and it's nothing but Biden. If people even have the guts to even have a sign, they're probably afraid of having a brick thrown through their window by a nut on either side. I wouldn't have a lawn sign this year. No way. I'm afraid. No, bottom line. But up there, it's uniform. It's like in the rural areas, it is nothing but Trump.
There's no question Pennsylvania will be in play. Steve, I had a very animated discussion last week with a big-time attorney here on Long Island, and it was concerning the Miller Place Inn. Remember that Sweet 16 party that took place back in September? And now you have, I believe the number is 37 coronavirus infections. And to me, it illustrates the consequences of not following prevention guidelines, especially as we get into this chillier weather, more gatherings, indoor settings, the whole nine yards there. And but a lot of emphasis now, Steve, has been put on the governor. You know, it seems like many think he's picking on the religious crowd, so to speak. You know, the goings on in the Lawrences, the Inwoods, Cedarhurst, and you know, picking on the Jewish groups for not following protocol for the holidays and everything else. There've been weddings. There was one wedding. Charles pointed out a big wedding that took place.
No, it didn't take place. No, they were livid that, and they called, of all people, to call an anti-Semite. They were the Hasidic community. They wanted to have one, and they, by the way, they have big parties, bar mitzvahs, weddings. And you have a head rabbi. Literally every Hasid within like a 100-mile radius shows up out of respect. Because it's a great, you know, it's like a great event under normal circumstances. It's like a, almost like a mafia wedding, except with the hat, you know, with hats and, you know, with hats and black coats. So, and the governor said, listen, you can't have 10,000 people in one place. I don't care what you are. And they started screaming at this governor, who I don't think they've ever had a better friend in Albany or anywhere than this governor. They start calling him an anti-Semite. It's like, really? It's like, is that the best you can do? It's like, I would say, you know, separating church and state or make some other argument, but don't call him an anti-Semite. He's the last guy in the world who's an anti-Semite.
Yeah, especially he's got two brother-in-laws who are Jewish. And the fact of the matter is, Steve, you know, if you're not following the guidelines, you're going to be more susceptible to this virus than anything else. So in essence, when he points that out, you know, I got to defend him in that nature. And listen, we're critical of him in a lot of ways. But when it comes to this stuff, you know what? He's spot on, in my opinion. You cannot be haphazard in nature when it comes to this stuff.
Well, let's take it a step further. Let's go with leadership, leadership, leadership. Start when you have Donald Trump and Fauci fighting about how to handle this coronavirus. And that's a national problem and a national embarrassment when you have... you know, I saw a special on 60 Minutes this week about how the CDC handled the people that were stuck on the Princess boat and how they airlifted them to the CDC headquarters and then completely dropped the ball. Let them go. Could you imagine this? Everyone was infected right from the beginning and they let them go all over the country to continue to reinfect. Now, locally, I'm with you on Cuomo. I mean, it really is common sense. It really is. We are the smart guys, and it's common sense. I mean, you can't have a wedding for 10,000 people. I mean, you know, Charlie and you, 100% right. I'm with the governor, 100%. And the way people are acting, you can notice it. There's a certain, you know, disconnect with smart people. Smart people are being affected by the coronavirus in a way you've never seen before. You could feel it on the streets. You could feel it all over the place. There's no more swagger around. There's no more confidence around. Any place you go, people are like hesitant. Oh, my God, I got to put my mask. Oh, I forgot my mask. I did this. I did that. Because common sense says we all want to do the right thing, but we're still not used to whatever the new normal is. And you could feel it in the country. You could feel it in the economics of the country. You could feel it in the people that are suffering. There's all kinds of things going on here economically. You know, no stimulus package coming to the people that really do need it. People are not thinking straight, and it's really not their fault because their leadership has completely dropped the ball. It would be nice to see that the Jewish community, the Hasidic community, their leaders would come out and not embarrass, you know, the whole community. This is an embarrassment. You don't have a 10,000 to start fighting about a 10,000 people wedding. Who would do something like this? Again, there's something in the air right now that's not right.
You can't have it. You got to be smart. And you look at this Miller Place Inn deal from September the 25th, the ramifications and everything else, 270 people.
Straight up
placed,
negligence.
Under quarantine. Yeah, 35 schools, Charles.
Straight up negligence.
I mean, that's all you can say. You can't defend this.
No,
that's
indefensible.
You cannot possibly defend this. I had a guy pretty much defending it last week. Big-time attorney, by the way. He defended it. How can you defend this? 334 contacts of attendees as far as the tracing is concerned, all from being stupid, all from being negligent, all from a venue that is trying to go a little bit beyond this. Now, listen, you see, now here's where I do find fault with the governor. The fact is that he has only capped 50 at an establishment right now rather than a little bit of a higher number. And again, maybe if you did that and you had some of these proprietors police the place, maybe you could do it properly and safely. But right now, it's haphazard as trying to push the envelope a little bit more.
You know, Jay, it's, you know, from my perspective, it's the money talks and you know what walks. When these places start to get sued, the insurance companies will turn around. I mean, it's sort of like it takes too long for that to happen, but the insurance companies have to enforce these things. The insurance companies, if you say, well, you could get sued for, in my world, what's called gross negligence, which is what that is, letting too many people, having a party like that, there's gross negligence. When you say, oh, by the way, listen, your insurance for your restaurant just went up from $10,000 a month to $40,000 a month because you can't run your establishment the right way, and we're going to end up paying the bill on your stupidity, you'll see how fast they fall into line. Because that's the only thing America really understands, is if you have to pay for it, that will change your behavior. Until then, you could talk about right and wrong and what's moral, what's immoral, what's right. You can talk about all those things. When it costs you money, you change your behavior.
No question. And I'm telling you, I'm a little ambivalent of going to a wedding that I have to attend in December.
Who's going to go to a wedding? You don't go anywhere. You're afraid to go buy a loaf of bread. We'll go to a wedding.
I have to attend this wedding. It's a couple of hundred people down in Florida in Naples. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a little antsy about it. I might have a little plexiglass in the corner. Hopefully the table will I be sitting at with a couple of drinks. I'll make sure I get about five or six drinks that'll carry me through the night. Plates of food.
Wear a wetsuit. Wear a wetsuit and a scuba tank.
I tell you, it's not going to be easy.
Get a snorkel and a scuba tank, and you walk in there, leave the flippers, wear a couple of flip-flops, put the whole family, scuba tanks and wetsuit.
Hey, listen, now, Jay, can I just interject one thing? You know, I could make an argument the other way, though, too, because regardless of what the insurance and what the price of doing business is, when you're not doing business and the people that are out of business and the people that have to put bread on their table, it puts everyone in a bad situation, and that's how people make bad decisions. So it really does require the governor and the police to work together to enforce these things, and because people are going to take chances. People have taken chances. I see it in my neighborhood. They are not obeying, the 6 feet rule in indoor dining all over Long Island. Okay, so you know, and it's hard to blame people because they want to do business. They want to keep their business going. So it really is a tough call. It really is.
Here's the thing: at the Miller Place Inn, they didn't police the place. So if you're going to let more people in, make sure that people are going to wear the masks when they can. I know it's hard when you're eating, drinking, and everything else, guys.
At a sweet 16-year-old kids are going to wear a mask, and you're going to police that? I can't. I got two kids in my house. I can't police them.
Right. That's a tough one to do.
You know,
go ahead. Finish up.
I wanted to go back to something Steve said about the general feeling among what's going on here on Long Island. I don't know if anybody's really plugged into the sadness that's around. You know, I don't want to get choked up here, but I see people like really suffering, like psychologically and mentally suffering. I see the general public. You know, in my line of work, I defend people who are in foreclosure, and a lot of these people want to pay their mortgages, and a lot of them were just coming out of the hole, and this thing happens. I can't possibly transmit or transmit the feelings that I see, the like just getting stepped on and stepped on and stepped on, and the bravery these people have just to keep coming back and coming back. And you want to talk about American heroes. This, like, you don't have to, like, jump, you know, run into a burning building. You just sometimes, like right now, it's just about getting out of bed and giving it another shot. Because these people, you can't knock these people down. I mean, I love Long Island, and I really like people. This is like, I have the perfect job. I really like people. And I feel so bad. And I, you know, I went through it for a little while. Steve's going through it. As Stevie, how many people died in your place?
We had six people go to the hospital. All six went on ventilators. Two died. Four made it out.
To load trucks so they can make a living for their family.
Absolutely.
Okay, so like they're putting their lives, and they know it.
Yep.
They're not asking for a handout.
No, they're not.
That's right. So you know, we really have to come to terms with this. And when you look to vote for somebody, for president or governor or senator, you look for a kind person. Because the thing that's going to get us is when we become mean to each other. When we get nasty with each other, like we have been.
That's right now.
Oh, I know. And it's bad, because this is not the time for that. This is not to turn people's emotions and, you know, and start pointing fingers and whose fault it is that we're not going back to work.
Hey, Jay, let me just interject one more thing. This is the problem with this whole election, is that it is nasty, but not because it's so nasty. Just because, and I'm going to hit on Joe Biden on this, is that take a look at history. When Obama came in out of nowhere, he came with a dream. He came with something. There was energy. There was excitement. When Bush, on his first run after Clinton, there was excitement. There was a new direction. I remember when Reagan came in after Carter, there was some sort of like, wow, the American dream.
Enthusiasm.
The feeling, the enthusiasm. Like Charlie said, you know, you went from the sad to actually the happy and the optimism. And here, for this election, nobody, even if you're the biggest Joe Biden guy, the biggest, let's say you just hold his flag and you love him, not even his own family is excited for this. They're excited just to say, Joe, you made it. You became president. You know, not for any vision that this guy has. He has shown no vision. And let me tell you something. If anyone has a reason to vote for Joe Biden, it's me. Okay, because I lost my dad to coronavirus, and I believe that Donald Trump has blood on his sword, and I can't even vote for Biden right now, and I'm begging him, give me a reason, and I can't. And I'll tell you one more thing, I can't vote for Trump either, ever, but the bottom line is, I want to vote for somebody rather than writing in my father's name and write, rest in peace, Lenny Schwartz, because I'll tell you something, that's where I'm headed right now. And that's the sadness, and I bet you I speak for the other 218,000 people, 200,000 people, and the other next 218,000 that are going to be coming, because there's no vision, there's no dream, there's no optimist, there's no hope.
I understand what you're saying, but it goes both ways, Steve. You know, I mean, they are very unfair to this president. They get him on every little thing. Listen, you even have the governor now coming out with this vaccine nonsense and pretty much stating he's going to have his own protocol for how it's being distributed and everything else. Not to be trusted is Trump and the federal government, the way they're going to distribute it. I mean, come on. That's uncalled for. To be political.
Hey, Jay, are you going to take that vaccine?
Now, let me finish it up. Hold on. Let me finish. Because if you're going to be political, as far as talking vaccine, to me, you're out of line. Cuomo was out of line yesterday. You're telling me you're going to be political, Governor Cuomo, when it comes to the vaccine? Give me a break. Everybody needs to come together. If this vaccine is out, it's going through the protocol, the trials, and everything else. So when it's distributed, it is going to be out there in a safe way. But to pinpoint the president for being disingenuous when he's talking about vaccines and antibody stuff and everything else, come on, you're out of line. Because all you're trying to do is take him down a rung on the ladder as we get toward this election. That's the MO of this governor right now when it comes to this stuff. Hands down.
No way, Jay. Because all I want to hear is, I want to hear from the science. I want to hear from the science. I want to hear from Fauci. I want the guys who are actually involved in it. I don't want to hear from Cuomo either. I want to hear from the guys who are knowledgeable in order to take that vaccine. I don't want to hear from Trump, and I don't want to hear from Cuomo. You're right.
Cuomo is all about sour grapes. You cannot embrace the president for giving him the hospital beds, for giving him the Red Cross ship, for creating the hospitals from the Army Corps, for giving him the ventilators and everything else, and then tear him down. Why? Because he's telling you a couple of things here and there, maybe won't give you the federal aid and everything else? I mean, give me a break. okay? You can't embrace and then tear down almost in the same sentence. You can't do that. I'm sorry. You look like a fraud when you do that. To me, that's what's going on here with the man at the top of the state here.
I'm embracing the science. I'm not embracing the politics. I want to embrace the science, and I think America wants to embrace the science. We want the vaccine. Everyone wants the vaccine, but we don't want our president, who has taken the lead on this and has dropped the ball on everything when it comes to coronavirus. So you could sit and say whatever you want about Cuomo and politics, and I agree with you. It's not about politics. This is about science. Let the professionals do their job. Let the pros do their job. Let them hold the news conferences. Let them direct this country. Because I'll tell you something, leadership here has dropped the ball, and you know that, Jay. We've talked about that.
You could hit him with the testing. You could hit him with the mask wearing, Charles. But he has done a lot of things in order to ward off a lot more death in this country, hands down. I mean, that's the way it is. You want to tell me that he has not been a leader as far as the mask?
Are you kidding me? Yeah, I will tell you that straight up. He's having two rallies a day, and nobody's wearing masks. Are you out of your mind? Really? Really? You call that responsible? That's like, stop, and then just say, stop there. Don't look for anything else. He's having rallies. He knows, and he just called Fauci an idiot, and all the other people who... No, don't defend him, Jay. And I know sometimes you like to get me going. Now you got me going. So do me a favor. Don't even try. You got nothing. You got nothing on this. I'm calling you out. You got nothing on this.
Because he has been torn down in every aspect.
Oh, boo-hoo.
As far as this COVID is concerned.
Oh, boo-hoo. Boo-hoo. Mr. President, when you run for office, you paint a giant bullseye right on your behind, and everybody in the country takes shots at you. And if you don't like that,
how would you like him to have handle this thing differently besides the mask and the testing?
Besides every time he shows up at a public forum, he probably infects another 1,000 people. You mean other than that?
I'll tell you how I like him to do it. I like that my dad's last words weren't, "I believe in my president. My president told me this is a hoax." He said this is a hoax and I don't have to wear a mask. All right, as I'm begging him to wear a mask and get himself together. And I'll tell you something. This president leads by example. And he is, when it comes to humanitarianism and humanity, this guy gets a zero. Okay? Politics, you know, that's another story.
Lenny, don't let it run your life, Lenny. Don't let the virus run your life. Lenny, can you hear me?
It's a hoax.
It's a hoax, Lenny.
It's a hoax.
Guys, all I'm saying is, in every aspect of what this country has gone through, Trump gets hit left and right for everything.
He deserves
and
it, and he's
really,
the president.
He's done some decent things here, okay? Now, I will say this, and I say this to the cows come home. The testing and the masks, that's something you could hit him with. How he handled the aspect of border control and everything else, it did save a lot of lives. It did. Save a lot of lives, okay?
He was going to he was going to do whether there was a virus or not. He was on that before there was a virus. And is that a good thing? Yes, I absolutely believe that illegal immigration is a bad thing because it is, fill in the blank, illegal, okay? So that don't even say, that. Don't put the apple with that orange because that doesn't belong there. This is all about him continuing to have rallies. He's going to probably infect another 10,000 people in between now and two Tuesdays from now. Okay, that's what's going to happen.
When he closed off the borders for travel to China, was that a good thing when he did it? When he quarantined those coming back from China for 2 weeks, was that a good thing?
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Was it a good thing?
Yeah, okay. Okay, fine, it is.
New York out of
But how stupid would you be not to do that? So what do you want to do? Give him a medal for not being a complete retard? Really? You want to give him a medal for that?
Listen,
come on, stop it.
When he helped New York out of being the epicenter, was that a good thing?
What was he going to do?
Was it a good thing?
Okay, it's a good thing. I can't say it's not a good thing. Of course it's a good thing.
Okay, so let's not say he was a complete disaster.
Okay, he gets an F. He gets a D-minus or an F+. What do you want to give him? You want to give him an A for that?
He gets an F.
What is Joe Biden doing?
Collateral damage. This is all after the fact stuff. This is like playing way behind the eight ball. Everything that you're saying is way behind the eight ball. And you know that whole thing with China and stuff. This guy is like starting World War III. Okay, I'll tell you something. The whole world is laughing at us. They're laughing at our response. They're laughing at Trump, and they're laughing at us as people. And you're going to sit and defend and say, "Wasn't that a good thing?" Yeah. Well, look at your timetable there. I mean, people were, by the time he got the ventilators there and all this stuff there. Let me tell you something. Our hospitals were already overrun. Look at your time period. Cuomo was begging for this stuff.
You're not sitting there seeing it the way it is.
Oh, okay. I love the way Pence. Listen, go look at your timetable on this.
Did the president come to the aid of New York? Yes or no, Steve?
No.
No, you're wrong.
Not quickly
enough. You're completely
enough.
Wrong.
No.
Read your facts.
No, you read yours.
1,000 beds. He helped transport.
What was he supposed to do?
He put a Red Cross ship in play.
After the fact. 3 months, 90 days later, Jay. 90 days later.
You want to hit him with a
90 days later, Jay.
You want to hit him with the testing? It's been abominable.
All right, let's move on.
You can't hit him with the other stuff.
Enough with this.
You can't hit him with the other stuff. All right, we're going to take a break. We will come back with a coveted bronze attorney. Those who have stepped in it, ladies and gentlemen. We will tell you who we nominate and who was the winner last week, right after these words. Winner of the coveted bronze attorney from last week. Wasn't even close, Nancy Pelosi. By the way, another prime example of the hatred towards this president, the fact that a stimulus will not get done, even though it's the end of business today, per Mnuchin, if they were going to get something. But there's no stimulus going to be in play because they don't want to give this guy any credit up until November the 3rd. And that's the division that has been caused. The hatred to this president is so evident in every aspect. And by the way, the media as well. The media as well is a big contribution as far as that is concerned. So, in essence, that's what you got. Nancy Pelosi, the winner. Charles, I'll throw it to you. Who is your nominee for the upcoming?
Lori Lightfoot. She wants to raise taxes in Chicago. She wants real property taxes. She wants sales tax. And my question to her is, okay, your cities are devastated to start out with. So you actually, the city's laying on the ground. You want to now stomp on anybody who has a chance of making it, bringing the city back? You're an idiot. You deserve a giant pile of steaming. That's it. That's my choice. Sorry.
Steve, your selection, sir.
I'm going to wheel out another Trump. Here's another Trump being wheeled right on out. Lara Trump for becoming a stuttering coach now. She's an expert on stuttering, so she came out and gave her 2 cents, saying that she disapproves of Joe Biden's stuttering. So I you can't even make this stuff up. Lara Trump, just wheel her right on out. There's your bronze turkey.
Mine goes to Jeffrey Toobin, who is the chief legal analyst for your guys' favorite network, which is CNN. And basically, what happened was he was on a Zoom call the other day and mistakenly thought that he was off that call and showed off his particulars, let's put it that way. And with that being said, he has been suspended by the network and all kinds of legalese heading his way. Jeffrey Toobin, gentlemen, my selection as being my nominee for the bronze turkey. Those who have stepped in it, ladies and gentlemen. Stephen, Charles, until next time.
Can't wait.
Thank you, Jay.
Talk to you later.